Jesus. We are in deep shit. Look at the size of those things. This just isn't possible. I mean, how do they even survive out there without ships?
This is where they live, their home. Maybe they don't need ships here. But there's something wrong about those monsters. There's no way they evolved in open space. Claws, tentacles, and eyes are planetary aspects. They must have evolved on some world originally.
Typical historian. I don't give a damn about the Recreated's past. I want to know what they're doing here, right now. And may I also remind you, we don't have any guns on this miserable cobbled-together rust bucket?
Probably just as well. They're not actually threatening us as yet. With our shields up, we may be too small to draw their attention. Start shooting at them, and we might just get them interested in us. I think I'd like to avoid that, if at all possible. I say we stay very calm and very quiet, and hope they overlook us.
For once, I find myself in complete agreement with you. I don't think even a full-size star cruiser would last long against that many nightmares. But how are we going to get down to the planet without them noticing?
They both jumped as the view screen alerted them to an incoming message. Owen quickly changed the screen from sensor input to the comm systems, and the disturbing gathering on the screen vanished, to be replaced by the great shaggy head and shoulders of the wolfling. The skull had a definite lupine quality, but the face was still unsettlingly human. Wolf smiled, revealing sharp and unpleasant teeth, his eyes fixed and direct, a predator's gaze.
I've been waiting for you to get here, Deathstalker. We must talk. There are many things we need to discuss before the end.
The end? The end of what?
Everything, possibly.
The wolfling didn't seem too upset at the prospect. His grin widened, showing even more teeth, looking less like a smile all the time.
Is it the baby? Is he waking up?
Oh, yes. And has been for some time now. He was sleeping so very deeply, and he's had a long rise back to consciousness. But soon he will be fully awake, and by then we must have decided what to do. Join me, and we will talk of many things before the end.
In case you hadn't noticed, we are currently surrounded by all kinds of weird shit, some of them with teeth you wouldn't believe, and with the good God only knows how much firepower between them. How are we supposed to get to you?
The teleport systems are still working. The Deathstalker installed them long ago, and they still function. Giles always planned for the future. When you are ready, I'll have them bring you to me.
One moment, please.
Owen shut off the comm sound for a moment, so he could talk privately with Hazel.
Now that's interesting. I'd always assumed the Last Standing teleported us down to the planet the last time we were here, not the other way around. The power in those old systems must be incredible. I wonder what other surprises my dear departed ancestor might have left behind.
Speaking of the departed, do you suppose Wolf knows Giles is dead?
He must by now. And that I killed him. He just might be inviting us down so he can take his revenge on me.
Let him try. He's big, but we've been through the maze.
So has he, more than once. Just because we never saw him manifest any powers, it doesn't mean he hasn't got any.
Now that is an unpleasant thought. All right, how do you want to play this?
Very carefully, and extremely diplomatically.
Owen turned the sound back on and smiled cheerfully at the wolfling.
We're ready to come down, Sir Wolf. Will our ship be all right up here alone, surrounded by the Recreated?
It's too small for them to be concerned with. The Recreated are always here, in the Dark Void. They belong here. They may leave, but some are always here.
We never saw any sign of them the first time we passed through the Dark Void.
They were hiding. They remembered the Last Standing. It frightened them. I await your arrival, Deathstalker.
Owen looked at Hazel.
The Last Standing frightened the Recreated?
Not the castle. It was who the Standing belonged to. Giles Deathstalker. It always comes back to him and the schemes and conspiracies he set in motion all those centuries ago.
Then I suppose it's up to me to finally put an end to them. The last of his family. The last Deathstalker.
And then, they both suddenly and silently vanished away. Gone from the bridge of the Sunstrider 3 between one moment and the next. And all around, the vast and awful shapes of the Recreated stirred slowly, as though troubled by some half-felt premonition. Not long after, another ship came to the Wolfling world, that famous and much-traveled star cruiser, the Dauntless. On the bridge, Captain John Silent sat stiffly in his command chair, his eyes fixed on the main viewscreen before him. The Dauntless had been threading its way through the huge alien forms of the Recreated for some time now, guns and shields at the ready, but so far the ship had gone entirely unchallenged. Which was just as well, in Silence's opinion. He wouldn't have backed his entire weapon system against even one of the huge alien vessels. The Dauntless moved slowly forward, sliding silently past and between the Recreated, and Silence couldn't help feeling just a little annoyed that none of the Recreated even deigned to notice them. The pardoned traitor called Carrion stood calmly beside the command chair, leaning idly on his power lance. His dark, shadowed eyes studied the alien shapes on the screen with interest, apparently entirely unmoved. The rest of the bridge crew were so stiff and strained you could have struck matches off them, and the general atmosphere on the bridge was tense almost beyond bearing, but no one even looked like cracking. They were a good crew, and Silence was very proud of them.
What the hell are all those Recreated doing here? Why aren't they attacking Golgotha with the rest of their kind?
Clearly something on the planet below holds their attention. Something they consider more important than humanity's imminent destruction. Which suggests the rumors are true. The Madness Maze has returned. And with it, perhaps, the Dark Void device.
Let's hope so. It's the only weapon left that might help us against the Recreated, now that Diana's failed to convert them. The device could be humanity's last hope.
Really? I always thought that was the Death Stalker.
If he's even here. And I don't know I entirely trust him in this. The last time a Death Stalker and the device got together, they wiped out billions of innocent lives. And he has a history with the Madness Maze I can't even begin to understand. I only went partway through, and it scared the shit out of me. It killed my men as I watched, and I couldn't do a damn thing to save them. Now, we'll deal with the Death Stalker if we have to, if he's alive and here. But we concentrate on the device. At least we got plenty of targets here to test it on.
Assuming we can use it without destroying everything else in the process, including us. Though that would be one fine last joke.
You always did have a weird sense of humor, Sean. Navigator, select a low orbit and move us into position. Preferably well away from any of those things out there.
Aye, sir.
The navigation officer's hands moved surely over the control panels. Only the paleness of his face betrayed his inner tension. The Dauntless eased into orbit around the Wolfling world, and still none of the Recreated showed any reaction. Silence and the rest of his crew began to breathe a little more easily. And then Heimdall, the ship's AI, raised its voice politely, and everyone jumped just a little.
You asked to be advised of any other human ship in the vicinity, Captain. Sensors are picking up what could be a small craft, also in low orbit.
Put it on the screen.
Silence studied the ship as its image replaced the Recreated, and he nodded thoughtfully.
Looks like it was bolted together from half a dozen different vessels, but the general shape's familiar. That's a Sunstrider. The Death Stalker got here before us. Damn. Heimdall, scan the ship for life readings.
None detected, Captain. Appears to be entirely deserted.
Silence frowned, and then rose sharply to his feet.
That means he's already gone down into the interior of the planet. Probably already making plans with a Wolfling.
Does it matter that he got here first? He is humanity's hero. What could he have to say to the Wolfling that might worry us?
Who knows? He's a Death Stalker. I never believed he was really dead. Owen's always had his own agenda.
Unlike us.
We are following Parliament's orders. After Jack Random went crazy, I don't trust any of the Maze people anymore.
You went into the Maze?
I never went all the way through. Never changed the way they did. I'm still human, and humanity needs the Dark Void device. If we can work with the Death Stalker, so well and good. If not...
Yes?
Damned if I know. There haven't been many who could make Owen Death Stalker do a single damn thing he didn't want to. All I can realistically do is appeal to his sense of honor and duty. In his own way, Owen has always been an honorable man. But he's also a wild card. In a game where the wrong move could spell death for the whole of the Empire, Owen has never understood or cared for the practical realities.
Unlike you, Captain.
Oh, I've always been a practical man, Sean. That's why the Death Stalker's the official hero of the Empire, and I'm still just a captain. But in the end, I was the one Parliament trusted with its orders, trusted to save humanity. They know I'll get the job done, no matter what.
And Hazel Dark?
Let's not talk about her. I have my orders. No one is to be allowed to interfere with this mission.
You never change, Captain.
And then, they both suddenly vanished from the bridge, teleported down into the cold heart of the Wolfling world. They all arrived together in the same moment, four human figures materializing in the midst of a great green forest. The surrounding trees stood tall and proud, draped in heavy swaths of summer greenery. Angled shafts of golden sunlight dropped down through the canopy of interlocking branches high overhead. Dust motes swirled lazily in the glimmering light. The air was full of the rich scents of earth and mulch and leaves and growing things. But for all its grandeur, the forest was still and silent, with not a sound anywhere. This was not a real wood, not a natural thing. The Wolflings had created the forest long and long ago, so they could have somewhere to run and play and hunt. Now, they were all gone, save for Wolf, the last of his kind, but the forest remained. Owen and Hazel looked at Silence and Carrion, who looked right back at them. After a moment that seemed to stretch and stretch, Owen and Silence straightened up a little and ostentatiously moved their hands away from their guns. They nodded slightly to each other, as close as two such old rivals could ever come to bowing. Respect had never been a problem between them, only politics, and very different ideas of duty. Hazel frowned and moved her hand from her gun to her belt. Carrion leaned casually on his power lance.
Well, it's been a long time since we last met, hasn't it, Captain?
Not since Lionstone's last court. Just as well, really. We never did have anything in common, except the things we fought over.
Who's your friend in black?
I am Carrion, a traitor and destroyer of worlds. I bring bad luck.
Thinks a lot of himself, doesn't he?
Silence and Owen exchanged an understanding look, acknowledging a shared history of having to make allowances for their companions. Hazel and Carrion caught the look, but didn't understand it, which was probably just as well. To avoid having to say anything else for a moment, they all looked around them, and the silent forest looked back. The continuing quiet was eerie, disturbing.
We've all come a long way. Is this where you thought your life would lead you, Captain? Is this the future you saw for yourself at the beginning of your career?
I haven't considered the future in a long time. I have enough problems dealing with the present.
I know the feeling. But it does seem somehow right that we should end up here, where it all began. A lot of stories find their end back at their beginning.
Oh, God, he's gone all metaphysical again. Look, Owen, we're only here because this is our last bit of unfinished business. The maze gave us incredible powers. I always knew there'd be a price to pay eventually.
Yes, there's always a price. No good deed goes unpunished.
Owen and Silence ignored both of them with the ease of long practice.
I take it you know about the latest reversal? The Recreated are plowing through what's left of the fleet and heading straight for Golgotha. When the homeworld falls, so does the Empire, with all of humanity not far behind. We're all that's left to snatch victory from the jaws of extinction.
Ah, hell. We've done it before.
But things are very different this time.
They all turned sharply to look at where the deep growling voice had come from. The Wolfling had arrived, without any of them hearing or noticing, and now he stood before them, tall and proud and very bitter. Wolf, the last of his kind. He had a man's shape, but he didn't stand like a man. Easily 8 feet tall, he towered over them, a commanding, threatening presence. Wide shoulders surmounted a barrel chest and a long, narrow waist, all of him covered in thick golden fur. The legs curved back like a wolf, and the oversized feet and hands had long, jagged claws. In the wolfish head, sharp teeth showed in a disturbing smile. The eyes were large and intelligent, and almost overpoweringly ferocious. Just standing there motionless, the Wolfling looked very, very dangerous. Owen kept his hands ostentatiously well away from his weapons. He'd never been too sure of just where he stood with Wolf, and now he had even more reason to be wary. Hazel stood very close at his side, scowling unwaveringly back at the wolfling to show how unimpressed she was, but Owen could feel she was coiled tight as a spring. Captain Silence and Carrion were also standing close together, and Carrion no longer held his power lance like a staff. The wolfling looked them over for a long moment, and then fixed his unsettling gaze on Silence.
I remember you, Captain. We met only briefly the last time you were here, but I remember you. You thought you could destroy the maze.
I did my duty.
Of course you did. That's just what the other humans said as they hunted down and destroyed my kind all those years ago, showing no mercy to females or cubs. Have you learned no new excuses for your destruction in all that time?
No. They wiped out my people too. The Ashrai. But still in all, I made my peace with the man who ordered their destruction, and Captain Silence is my friend again. I vouch for him.
And who vouches for you, human?
The Ashrai, if need be. Let us all pray I don't need to call on them. They wouldn't leave much standing of your fragile, pretty wound. I sympathize with your loss, friend Wolf, but let us understand each other. We are here to do what we must, and we will do it, right or wrong, with you or despite you, as need be. I lost one people. I couldn't bear to lose another. Can't we be friends, Wolf, in the face of such dark evil as a recreated?
You don't even know what the recreated are.
And you do?
Oh, you'd be surprised what I know, young Deathstalker. Come, we are wasting time, and there's not much left of it to waste. The madness maze has returned, and the baby is waking up.
I'm glad the maze is back. I always felt just a little guilty at destroying something so extraordinary. Like a barbarian tearing down a city he wasn't advanced enough to appreciate. But it killed my men and it was a threat, so... I never did understand about the sleeping baby, though. Is it significant?
You could say that. It's Giles Deathstalker's clone. It's also a being of incalculable power. You know it better as the Dark Void device.
A baby was responsible for all that death and destruction? I don't believe it.
Believe it. The baby has slept for centuries, and I have felt his power grow. If he wakes again, the whole universe may tremble, and he is very close to waking now.
Damn. Damn! I had the Dark Void device in my hands all those years ago. If I'd only known...
What? What would you have done with it, Silence? Used it to protect Lionstone from us and keep her in power? Prevented the rebellion and all the changes we made for the better?
Perhaps not all your changes were for the better. It doesn't matter now. We still have to face the recreated.
When you opened fire on the maze and tried to destroy it, the maze protected itself by jumping forward through time. When it reappeared around the baby, everything was as it had been. You never did understand the nature of the madness maze. What you see is merely the physical manifestation of something far greater. The tip of a very large, very alien iceberg. The maze is just the intrusion into our reality, into our mere three dimensions, of something far greater. A mere fraction of an alien device so vast that one glimpse of the whole thing would blast your reason away.
A very metaphysical. I'll be impressed later, when I've got time. All that really matters now is the Dark Void device. Parliament sent me here to find and obtain it, and bring it back to use against the recreated to save the homeworld and humanity. Nothing else matters.
It's not that simple. Giles thought he could use the baby's power to stop a rebellion. Instead, the baby murdered billions of people. Who knows what he might do when he wakes again? This isn't a weapon we dare use, Silence. We don't know how to aim it, focus it, or even turn it off. That small baby could actually be a greater threat to humanity than all the recreated put together.
That's theory. I have to deal in facts. The recreated are a threat now, and I have my orders.
We'll stop you if we have to.
Humans, with your your species on the edge of extinction, still you bicker and quarrel. Come with me, fools. The Madness Maze is waiting for you. Perhaps you can learn wisdom from it in the time you have left.
The Madness Maze was right back where it had been, as enigmatic and unsettling as ever. Beyond it lay the city the Haydenmen built, after Owen released them from their tomb. The once bright and shining silver towers were dark and lifeless now, the mathematically straight streets silent and deserted, with no trace anywhere of the augmented man who created the city to be the wellspring of their rebirth.
They all went into the maze, every last one. It called to them in a voice their original creators would have recognized, and they could not stand against it. They all went in, and none came out. That is the nature of the maze, to judge and condemn the unworthy. They all went mad or died, and the maze took them into itself forever. Their time was over. They were incapable of becoming.
Becoming? Becoming what?
Only the maze can answer that question. And you must go into the maze to ask it.
I've never liked the word must. And besides, that damn thing almost drove me crazy last time. I'm in no hurry to give it another crack at me.
You have no choice. The baby is waking. His fate, your fate, and humanity's fate all meet their destiny together, here, at the heart of the maze. Either you go in and complete your journey at last, or everything you have done and stood for has been for nothing. The Recreated will destroy your species, and you will die. Alone and incomplete, and far from everything you hold most dear.
The four humans looked at the Madness Maze, and felt it looking back. At first glance, it seemed straightforward enough, a simple pattern of tall steel walls, shining and shimmering, but the more you looked at it, the more complex you realized it was. The pattern unfolded before their eyes like a continuously blooming flower, becoming ever more subtle and intricate, like the folded convolutions of the brain. The walls were 12 feet high and only a fraction of an inch thick, and Owen remembered clearly how deathly cold they had been to the touch. The paths between the walls led to knowledge and madness, inspiration and evolution, or a terrible death. The birth of a new kind of humanity, or the death of the old. In the maze was every dream you ever had, including all the bad ones. Perhaps especially the bad ones. Birth is always painful. It was calling to them. They could all feel it, on levels they couldn't comprehend or resist. As Hazel had said, only partly in jest, they had unfinished business with the maze, or it with them. Silence looked at the shimmering structure before him and tried to remember the good men and women of his crew it had killed, but still, something drew him to it. He had never passed all the way through. He had turned back to save Investigator Frost because the maze was killing her, and he couldn't allow that. But a part of him had always wondered what he might have become if only he'd gone all the way through to the heart, to the center of the mysteries. Owen looked at the Madness Maze and thought of all the amazing things he'd done in his short, legendary life. He'd achieved many things, performed wonders, followed where his duty and his honor had led him, but he couldn't honestly say any of it had made him happy. Despite all his wishes and convictions, he'd been forced to put aside his old scholarly self and become the warrior he'd never wanted to be. He'd seen good friends die, along with his enemies, to bring about a questionable victory and an empire he no longer recognized or felt a part of. The maze had changed his life forever and made him so much more than he was. But he still didn't know whether to praise it or damn it. Hazel scowled at the maze, her hand resting again on the gun at her hip. She didn't remember much about her last trip through the maze, at least partly through her own wishes, but she was sure the damned thing had its own agenda, and not necessarily one she would agree with. She'd been many things in her life, from clone-legger and pirate to rebel and official hero, and she hated to think any of them had been anyone's idea but her own. If she went into the maze again, what new changes might it work in her? What might she become? Carrion looked at the Madness Maze and perhaps saw more than the others, because he had lived so long with the Ashrai and the metallic forest. He saw strange energies spiraling endlessly through the steel pathways, and potentials and possibilities that both intrigued and frightened him. He welcomed these feelings because it had been so long since he'd felt much of anything.
Well, you've come all this way. Have none of you anything to say?
If the device is in the maze, then we have to go after it. But you heard the Deathstalker. We could just be trading one threat for another.
If the baby becomes a menace, then I'll destroy it. But not until I've made use of it.
John, you can't. He's just a baby. He's innocent.
It killed billions of people.
He doesn't know that.
Nothing's ever simple, is it? I remember the first time I came here. I remember walking the madness maze to its heart and finding the baby waiting there, safely sleeping. I think I knew even then that my life was never going to make sense, that there were greater powers than I could ever hope to understand at work in the universe. And this was where the lies started, too. My ancestor Giles, the original Deathstalker, told me the baby was his clone. It didn't occur to me till much later that cloning didn't exist in his time. He also told me the Madness Maze was created by the Wolflings, though soon after he changed his tune and said the maze was an alien artifact. That was his first slip, the first thing that made me distrust him. But then, I never did believe in legends, especially when I became one. And I've studied far too much history to believe in happy endings. But I still believe one man of goodwill can make a difference, if he stands at the right place at the right time, and will not back down or look away.
Giles believed that once. Unfortunately, he decided he wanted to be more than just a hero and warrior prime. The time has come for me to tell you the truth. The true history of Giles Deathstalker and his infant son. And the Madness Maze.
This is the tale the Wolfling told. More than 900 years ago, when things were very different, and Giles was an honored hero, loved and respected by all, he betrayed his wife and his family and his emperor to have an affair with the Empress Hermione. Hermione became pregnant, her first and only child. Ulrich was delighted at the pregnancy, and there were empire-wide celebrations over the birth of a son and heir to the empire. Only Giles and Hermione knew that the official gene test was a fake, that the newborn babe was a bastard and a traitor's get. Even now, Wolf didn't know whether Giles really loved her, if he ever loved her, or whether he quite deliberately set out to sire a child who would give Clan Deathstalker a claim to the Iron Throne. The Wolfling would hate to think that Giles' affair with Hermione was just a means to an end, but the Deathstalker always was ambitious. Perhaps the plan was to wait until Ulrich II met his death by whatever means, and then Giles would step forward and reveal the true gene test, and the Deathstalker family would rule the Empire. Giles never told Wolf, and the Wolfling never asked. Whatever the truth of his ambitions, it all went horribly wrong. The betrayer was himself betrayed by his true son, the man the Empire came to know as Dram. Shortly after the royal birth, he told Ulrich the truth, currying favor perhaps, for Dram was always ambitious too. And perhaps it was also jealousy, a fear that he would be put aside in favor of his bastard half-brother. Father and son never did get on. Giles was always off somewhere in the ever-expanding Empire, being a hero, creating his legend, while his son was left behind, to grow up in the company of tutors and politicians, and a quiet, mousy mother who had no idea how to cope with her increasingly ruthless child. The Emperor almost went mad with rage when Dram told him the truth about his beloved infant son. Ulrich had been childless for many years, and so the insult Giles had done him became unbearable on many levels. He had the Empress Hermione imprisoned, awaiting trial and execution, and put a death warrant on Giles Deathstalker. They said Ulrich signed it in his own blood. That's why Giles really went on the run. There was no great clash of two godlike men, just a petty squabble over a miserable betrayal. Giles was forewarned by one of his many allies at court. He fought his way into the palace, killing many good men, grabbed the baby, and went on the run, with half the imperial fleet snapping at his heels. There was only one place in the Empire that Giles could run to, where he wouldn't be expected, the Wolfling world. No one knew that he had a secret ally there. Some years before, the Emperor had sent Giles to this world to hunt down and destroy the last Wolfling. He was a legend then himself, and a constant threat and thorn in the side to humanity, so Ulrich sent one legend to deal with another. Giles hunted him down easily enough, but when they finally came face to face, with nothing on their minds but battle and death, they were both surprised at what they saw in each other's eyes. They knew, in a moment that seemed to last forever, that neither of them could defeat the other, that both would die if they fought. At long last, they had found equals, someone worthy of their respect. They chose not to die. Instead, they sat and talked for hours, like two brothers separated since birth, who had only now found each other. Giles still had honor then, as well as a keen eye for a potential ally. He denied his orders, left the Wolfling alive, and went back to the Emperor to tell him he couldn't find the legendary creature, that he probably no longer even existed. Ulrich believed him. Why not? His precious warrior Prime had never lied to him before. Perhaps in that moment, in that first small betrayal, was planted the seed of rebellion and ambition and all that was to come. The Wolfling liked to think so. He liked to think that in some small way he helped to contribute to the downfall of the Empire that slaughtered all of his kind but him. So, who else could Giles turn to with all the Empire turned against him? He came to the Wolfling world, seeking safety and sanctuary, and a base from which to someday strike back. So the Wolfling showed him the Madness Maze. No other human had ever seen it before, save the Bloodrunners, and they never spoke of it. The Wolfling explained to Giles the nature and function of the maze, and what it could do to him if he dared to penetrate its secret heart. But Giles was frightened. He valued his humanity too much to give it up then, no matter what the maze promised. While he wasn't prepared to risk himself, there was still the baby. What safer place could there be to hide his child than in the heart of the maze? No one would dare go in after him, and he would in time become powerful beyond belief. Giles listened to the maze, talking through the Wolfling, its involuntary guardian, and was tempted. His son, a weapon he could use to bring down the Empire that had dared turn against him. And tempted, Giles fell, and was damned by his own ambition. The Wolfling took the child into the heart of the Madness Maze and left him there. He had walked through the Madness Maze many times, but it never chose to make the Wolfling a god. It was enough that it kept him alive when he would much rather have died, and bound the Wolfling to its service, an unwilling immortal guardian and mouthpiece. He would have killed the child if he could, because the child would soon become what the Wolfling could not, because he had come between the Wolfling and his friend. But the maze wouldn't let him. It had its own plans for the child of Giles Deathstalker. The baby lay in the heart of the Madness Maze, and because he was so very young, with so few built-in preconceptions and limitations, the maze was able to change him in ways far beyond any others it embraced. The child blossomed and grew and became very powerful. He became so much more than any other of his species, and laughed aloud in delight at the wonders of the universe unfolding before him. He thought it was all just a game. And when he had learned all his small consciousness could tolerate, he went to sleep, to consider what he had learned, and to wonder what he would do next. The Wolfling watched from the outside, and dreamed of what he would have done to his enemy humanity with such power. But the maze had bound him to it, and he could not leave its side. He couldn't even join the rebellion, when Owen was so kind enough to ask. Now at this time, there was another rebellion going on. The old Empire was not perfect for all its grandeur, and a group of planets had banded together to defy the Emperor's authority and demand better treatment. Ulrich could have declared war against them and sent his mighty fleet to punish them, but the planets were valuable for many reasons and well defended enough that his fleet would have suffered badly in any direct conflict. So Giles saw an opportunity. He sent a message to the Emperor through certain mutual friends offering a certain proposition. In return for a pardon for himself and his child, the Deathstalker would put an end to the rebellion, guaranteed. Ulrich would have refused, but on military matters, even a cuckolded emperor must listen to his advisors, if he wishes to remain emperor. There was a very real danger the small rebellion could become a large one if it were not smartly nipped in the bud. So Ulrich reluctantly agreed. The wolfling took Giles to the entrance of the madness maze, or as close as he would go, and he called out to his son. The maze gently woke the infant in its care, and the baby reached out instinctively to his father. Their minds made contact, and for the first time in a long time, the wolfling saw happiness in Giles's face. He persuaded his baby son that the nearby rebel planets were a threat to both of them, and frightened, the child lashed out at the rebels. And everyone knew what happened next. The baby only flexed his power for a moment, but between one heartbeat and the next, 1,000 suns blinked out, and the dark void was born. Thousands of planets grew cold, and everything on them died. Billions of men and women and children died screaming. Horrified by what he had done, by what he had been persuaded to do, the baby cut off all contact with his father and put himself back to sleep and would not be awakened. Giles called and called, but his son wouldn't listen to him anymore. For the first time, the wolfling saw Giles weep, though whether for the loss of his son's love or in frustration at how things had gone so terribly wrong, Wolf never knew. Giles had been warrior prime, sworn to defend the Empire and humanity, and he was now responsible for the death of billions. Whatever the cause, that day broke his heart. He was never the same after that. All he ever cared about from that day on was putting things right, whatever it took. The Emperor howled to all his court that he had been right all along, and no one disagreed. All humanity was appalled at what the Deathstalker had done with his Dark Void device. The Emperor tore up the pardons and set the most powerful dogs at his command on the Deathstalker's trail, including the mysterious Shadow Men, who had never been known to fail. Giles piloted the last standing to Chandrakor, old home of his family, to decoy his enemies away from his son and the Madness Maze. He had plans for both of them in the future. Someday, he believed, he would learn to control them both and use them to make amends for the terrible thing he had done. But it was only when he had emerged from the newly formed Dark Void and was well on his way to Chandrakor that he finally re-established contact with his old allies and discovered how much he was required to pay for his ambition. The Empress Hermione was dead, executed by royal decree. Giles' wife Marion was also dead, murdered by his estranged son, Dram. Giles' very name had become a curse in the mouth of humanity. Perhaps he went a little mad then, at the thought of how much he'd lost, at how all his plans had gone so horribly wrong. He sent assassins after his son, Dram, tidied up the last of his affairs, and vanished his castle into the thick, deadly jungles of Chandrakor. There he set up a conspiracy of his remaining family and friends and allies to slowly and carefully plot a foolproof rebellion against the Iron Throne. This time, everything would be planned in detail. Nothing would be allowed to go wrong. But it would take time. So Giles programmed the Last Standing's computers to take care of things while he was away and put himself in stasis to wait however long it took. To wait for some distant descendant to awaken him, to tell him that finally he would be able to overthrow the Iron Throne, make himself emperor, and put everything right again. But he never got the chance. The descendant who awakened him murdered him. But meanwhile, back at court, Dram killed his mother Marion to prove his loyalty to Ulrich, to demonstrate how distanced he was from his treacherous father. He didn't want much from the Emperor in return. He just wanted to be the new warrior prime. But the Emperor had had enough of murderous Deathstalkers. He named the son a monster like his father, put a death sentence on Dram and a bounty on his head, and Dram was forced to flee. His father's conspiracy would have nothing to do with him. Ulrich gave orders for all of the main members of Clan Deathstalker to be put to death. Many died, many more went underground. A distant cousin of the Emperor's choosing became head of the new Deathstalker family. Giles' conspiracy survived, but it was never the same after that. Ulrich would have liked to stamp out the whole line, root and branch, but the name, the heroic, already legendary name, had been useful before and might yet be again. The people did so love their precious heroes. Dram determined to find and kill his father for many reasons, only to discover that Giles had escaped his reach, disappearing down the corridor of time into the future. So Dram put himself into stasis too, using an old secret bolt hole on Golgotha that had once belonged to his father. Surely the irony pleased him. He didn't know that more than 9 centuries would pass before a team of engineers, excavating the depths of Lionstone's new palace, found something entirely unexpected. Lionstone awoke Dram and found a kindred spirit. Monsters always recognize their own kind. Together, they set in motion plans that would destroy young Owen Deathstalker's comfortable life and send him off in search of his famous ancestor, Giles. All they had to do was wait and follow, and eventually Giles and the Dark Void device would fall into their hands. And then, power and revenge and punishment on a humanity that had never really loved them. But during those 9 centuries and more, rumors had persisted that a Deathstalker had been personally responsible for the creation of the Dark Void, that the device was just a convenient fiction to hide a more terrible truth, that a man had somehow gained the power of such destruction. Leaks from inside the ongoing Deathstalker conspiracy seemed to confirm something along those lines. So when, sometime later, the Espers began secretly investigating their own powers and nature, the name and legend of what a Deathstalker might have done suddenly seemed entirely possible. Those rumors inspired what became the Super Esper program that led to the creation of the Mater Mundi. The search for individual Super Espers produced only freaks and monsters, so the Esper Underground made contact with the Deathstalker conspiracy, and after that they worked together, each thinking it was using the other for its own purposes. But the inclusion of Espers and later clones meant that the course and nature of the Deathstalker conspiracy were changed forever. Giles couldn't foresee everything. None of these people knew that really they were little more than puppets, their strings pulled, however distantly, by the Madness Maze.
It took me a long time to piece all that together, but I've been in contact with the various conspiracies and undergrounds for centuries via the computers that Giles left me, and I've had a lot of time alone here. With nothing to do but think.
Giles never really cared about the people or the rebellion. It was all just a plan to put him on the throne.
Him and his family.
But Giles always came first. An empire-wide rebellion, built not upon honor or justice, but one man's guilt.
Does it really matter? Giles may have started the rebellion, but we finished it for our own purposes. And in the end, the empire we helped to make is nothing like the empire Giles had in mind. Only one Deathstalker helped shape humanity's future, and that's you, Owen.
Oh, yes. It's all down to you, Owen. And your story isn't over yet. There's still more you need to know. Let me tell you what the Recreated really are. They're not aliens, and they're not boogeymen. The truth is really much more horrible than that. Everyone and everything that died during the creation of the Dark Void is still alive. So many cried out as they died, all those centuries ago, that the baby heard them, even in its sleep. It dreamed they were still alive, and so they were. Without shape or form, they existed in the endless dark, crying out with rage and pain, and shock and loss and horror. They soon went insane, and in that madness, eventually learned to tap the power that was keeping them alive. They drew slowly and cautiously on the sleeping baby's power, tapping indirectly the power of the Madness Maze itself, and in time they learned how to make new bodies for themselves. But they were insane, and so were the shapes they took. They made themselves into the nightmarish, evil aliens that humanity had always feared meeting, and dedicated themselves to revenge against the humanity that sentenced them to death and then left them alone and abandoned in the eternal darkness. They started slowly, afraid to stray too far from the source of their existence. But eventually they reached out and snatched Captain Fast from the bridge of his own starship. They experimented on him, learning what they could do, and finally made him over into half a man, 1 and 2. And then they sent the first one back to spread fear and propaganda of the terrible evil aliens waiting out there and prepare humanity for their eventual coming. And all that time, he was their unwitting spy in humanity's camp. Alien species that might have been humanity's friends and allies were enslaved or destroyed as a result of the policy formulated by Half a Man. The Recreated were determined that when they finally did burst out of the Dark Void, humanity would find itself utterly alone. Down the centuries, the Recreated gathered and concentrated their power, moving slowly away from their source, heading for the Rim. And now they're out, humanity's dark, neglected offspring, home to roost at last.
Figures. Humanity always was its own worst enemy.
They aren't necessarily all evil, the Recreated. I remember voices coming out of the Dark Void, trying to warn us of the dangers of the approaching Starship Champion. Perhaps some of them remember who and what they used to be.
If so, they're in a minority. The Recreated want vengeance and the utter destruction of humanity, and they won't settle for anything less. They are vast and they are powerful. And what little remains of the Empire's forces isn't nearly enough to stop them.
Are you saying it's hopeless? That there's nothing we can do?
There's always hope. One of you can still make a difference. The circle of your life has almost come to a close, Owen. Time for one Deathstalker to stop what another began and save all humanity.
Of course. It always comes down to me in the end, doesn't it? Damn it. All right, Wolf. What unpleasant and probably fatal thing do I have to do this time?
I can't tell you. Some things are still withheld from me, probably so I won't interfere. You will have to go back into the Madness Bay, Owen. All the way back in. You will find all the answers you need at the heart of the maze. But you'd better hurry. The Recreated know about you. They sense that somehow you might be able to stop them. Some of them are already here. Hovering over the planet. Their fear holds them back, but it also goads them on. A Deathstalker made them what they are, but another might undo them.
How? Speak plainly, damn you!
Don't get him angry. He's a lot bigger than I remembered.
The Recreated draw their power from the baby in the maze. If you could interrupt that link, they might just cease to exist. Of course, the only way to be sure of breaking that link would be for you to murder an innocent child.
There's got to be another way.
Maybe. But you don't have much time to find it, Owen. Soon the Recreated will overcome their fear, and then they'll come dropping down out of the dock, carve their way down through the frozen outer layers of this world, and find you. They'll make your death last for eons. Stretch your suffering across time until your dying screams are all that remains of humanity. Make your decision, Owen. The Recreated will be here soon, and nothing in the physical realm can stop them now.
Go, Owen. The maze saved us once. Maybe it'll save us again. We'll guard your back here.
Unfortunately, it's not that simple. First, you have to get past me.
He was crouching a little now, as though ready to spring, but his great furry head still towered above theirs. Long, sharp claws extended from his fingers. The wide grin had become a snarl, the sharp teeth like a steel trap in his mouth. The frowning yellow eyes were full of hatred. Silence and Hazel let their hands drop to the guns at their hips. Carrion stood a little straighter, his hand tightening around the power lance he held before him. Owen stood very still.
Why? We have always been allies, if never friends. And even if the Recreated don't destroy you along with the rest of us, you wouldn't want to live in the universe they'll make.
Giles. He was my friend. My old friend. Who only wanted to put things right again. And you killed him. I never gave a damn about your rebellion. Humanity destroyed my whole species. Giles was the only one I ever cared about, and he's gone now. So let humanity die. As for my own life, I should have died long ago, with the with the last of my kind, with my mate and cubs. But the maze kept me alive against my will. I never asked or wanted to be its guardian. I've been forced to be part of a great ongoing scheme whose details and end have always been withheld from me. This may be my only chance to rebel, to destroy that scheme, and have my revenge on the maze and on you for everything you took from me!
The wolfling launched himself, moving impossibly quickly, his extended curving claws reaching for Owen's throat. Owen boosted and threw himself to one side. In a moment, his sword was in his hand, and he turned and pirouetted on one foot, bringing his sword around in a swift, double-handed arc. The blade whistled through the air as the wolfling ducked under it. Silence and Hazel opened fire with their disruptors, and Carrion's power lance crackled with spiraling energies. The wolfling avoided both energy blasts with fluid ease, moving faster than the human eye could follow, and he lashed out with one long arm, slapping the power lance out of Carrion's hands. In a moment, he was concentrated on Owen again. The Deathstalker had to move at the top of his boosted speed just to keep up with the wolfling's attacks. His sword cut into the wolfling's furry hide again and again. Wolf ignoring pain and injury in his determination to get to Owen, his slashing claws coming ever nearer, the great teeth flashing in a wide grin. Silence and Hazel drew their swords as Carrion ran to reclaim his power lance.
Stay back!
Owen had already worked out that he couldn't hope to win this fight on a purely physical level. The wolfling was immortal, a survivor of centuries, kept alive by the power of the maze. Owen had already stuck him with thrusts that would have killed a normal living being, and the wolfling just shrugged them off and kept coming. Which meant the answer had to be with the maze. Owen scowled. He needed to think, but there just wasn't time. The wolfling was pressing him too close. So when in doubt, go for broke. Owen deliberately left himself open for a moment, and the wolfling surged forward. Savage claws ripped into Owen's side and out again, spraying blood on the forest air, but Owen had already swung his blade in a long, double-handed arc with all his strength behind it. The keen edge of the blade sheared clean through the wolfling's narrow neck, and the long, lupine head went flying from the broad shoulders. Owen and the wolfling both fell to their knees. Owen clutched tightly at his side, gasping with pain, blood pulsing thickly between his fingers. He thought he could feel broken ribs. The headless body of the wolfling knelt beside him, blood spouting up from the severed neck, its arms reaching blindly out in search of the separated head, which lay some distance away. The eyes still moved, fixed on the hands as they edged closer. Hazel stepped quickly forward and kicked the head out of reach. The jaw snapped at her boot, and the eyes rolled furiously. Owen closed his eyes, ignoring the pain in his side, to concentrate. He reached out to the madness maze with his thoughts and felt it acknowledge him, like a slumbering giant slowly waking at the sound of a familiar voice. Owen concentrated his mind on a single thought.
For God's sake, let the poor bastard die.
The headless body fell forward onto the green and red grass and slowly stilled, the hands twitching, as though still searching for an enemy to crush. The severed head's jaws gaped wide in one last soundless cry of rage or pain, or perhaps just relief. And then it too was still, its eyes mercifully empty. The blood finally stopped pulsing from the body's severed neck, and the wolfling was finally dead. Silence and Hazel helped Owen to his feet, as Carrion came running back, power lance in hand, looking just a little embarrassed. Owen put his sword away as Hazel checked the wound in his side and pressed a folded cloth against it.
Nasty, but not immediately life-threatening. You'll heal, Owen.
Of course. I always do.
He wanted to die. To join the last of his kind.
Oh, sure. But he would have taken me with him if he could. Luckily, I convinced the maze to let him go. I don't think the maze needs a guardian anymore. Presumably, its long scheme is nearly over, and we're approaching the endgame.
Scary thought. If the wolfling was telling the truth, it could be all our lives have been led and manipulated just to bring us here, to this place at this time, to carry out its endgame.
Nothing's that powerful.
With the maze, who knows what's possible? It doesn't have human limitations.
Right. It could do anything to you once it had you inside it again. I don't think you should do this after all, Owen.
I doubt it'll kill me after all we've been through to get here.
Maybe not, but it could change you again. Make you more alien, like itself. We've already come a hell of a long way from the rest of humanity, Owen. If you go in again, there's no telling what might walk out the other end. We've come so far together, Owen. I don't want to lose you now.
As with so many times before, I don't really have a choice. Not just because of the recreated, but because of the baby at the heart of the maze. Wolf said he was waking up. I have to reach him before that happens. God alone knows what he might do if he wakes alone and scared, or angry. Someone has to be there to supply comfort and guidance. And who else would he accept but another Deathstalker?
It could just kill you with a thought.
Yes, Silence, I suppose he could. But I don't believe the maze brought me all this way just to let the baby kill me at the last step. I have to believe there's some purpose to my being here.
You don't have to do this, Owen.
Yes, I do. I've always known my duty, Hazel.
If you're going in, I'm going in too. If something were to go wrong in the maze and you don't make it out, the Empire's still going to need someone to save the day.
You just want to get your hands on the device. You still think you could use it as a weapon against the recreated. You're an idiot, Silence. Haven't you listened to anything we've told you? You'd destroy humanity while trying to save it.
I listened. The maze could give me the power to control the baby, or destroy it as necessary. Either way, the recreated would be destroyed.
Hazel started angrily toward the captain. Owen caught her by the arm.
It doesn't matter, Hazel. Let him enter the maze again if he wishes. He'll learn better once in there.
I need to do this. I never went all the way through before. I turned back to save Frost. Maybe if I go all the way through this time, I'll find the certainty that you and Owen have. I spent so long trying to do the right thing, while never being entirely sure what the right thing was.
Then I'll go in too, just to keep you company. Who knows? Maybe I'll find some answers and certainty for myself. It's been a long time since I had any purpose or direction in my life.
It's called the Madness Maze for a reason. It kills a lot of those who enter, and drives even more insane.
I know. I saw my men die, trying to solve the maze. But someone has to be left to carry on the good fight if you and Hazel don't make it for whatever reason. You said yourself the maze has plans for you. Maybe an alien device has alien plans that have nothing to do with saving humanity. The Empire must be protected.
For once we agree. The recreated would destroy every living thing in the Empire and bring it all down to darkness. They must be stopped. It's taken a while, but I've finally found an enemy I hate more than humanity.
Oh, all right. If you're all going in, then I guess I am as well. I don't trust the maze worth a damn, but it's the only card we've got left to play against the recreated. You can let go of my arm now, Owen.
Owen released her arm, took her by the hand, and brought her around to face him, his eyes fixed on hers.
No, Hazel. You can't go in. You have to go back up to the Sunstrata and keep the recreated busy while we're in the maze. There's no knowing how long we'll be in there, and we can't let the recreated get anywhere near the maze. They might destroy it just to stop me reaching the baby.
You have got to be kidding. The Sunstrider 3 doesn't even have any guns.
But it is very fast. And besides, I have a feeling that the maze has made changes in our little ship. I seem to sense it. I think you'll find the new Sunstrider has everything you'll need to defend us.
The maze? Since when has the maze been able to do things like that?
The baby isn't the only thing that's waking up. I think the maze is rousing itself from an even deeper slumber.
Great! Just what we need, more complications. So, you want me to be a bloody decoy, is that it? A target for all the recreated, while you all go and commune with whatever the maze really is? Wonderful! Why don't I paint a bullseye on my chest while I'm at it?
Oh, I think we've gone past the point where what we want matters anymore. I have to do this, Hazel. The maze is calling me. Can't you feel it?
You'll be killed without me. I know it. You never did know how to stay out of trouble.
If I'd stayed out of trouble, I'd never have met you.
Silence and Carrion exchanged a look and moved away so Owen and Hazel could have a little privacy. Hazel remembered her dream of standing alone on the Sunstrider's bridge, fighting off impossible odds, but she said nothing. She could feel destiny closing in around her, taking her life in a remorseless iron grip, and a brief burst of fear and panic ran through her. She wanted to run or scream or knock Owen down so he wouldn't leave her. She fought the feelings down with all her old self-control. She didn't want to upset Owen. He was looking at the madness maze, his head slightly cocked, as though listening to some tune only he could hear. When he finally turned to look at her, his smile was so sad, it nearly broke her heart.
"We've come a long way together. Walked in wondrous places, seen marvels almost beyond belief, and fought the good fight with all we had. We even walked into hell a few times, and brought light into darkness. Maybe it would be greedy to ask for more for ourselves."
"I never wanted to be a hero. I just wanted you and some time together."
"Heroes and legends. A long way from the Ex-Scholar and the Ex-Clone Legger. We've achieved more in our short time than most people do in a lifetime. Be proud of that."
"You're trying to say goodbye, aren't you, Deathstalker? One way or another, we're never going to meet again, are we?"
"Who knows? We started this journey with our eyes wide open, and we knew what we were getting into. Everyone knows most heroes and legends don't have happy endings. I wish we could have had the things that everyone else has and takes for granted. Home and family and children. Some time to ourselves, untouched by need or politics or destiny. But we were never meant for that kind of life, you and I. You're the best thing that ever happened to me, Hazel Dark. I wouldn't trade a moment of it for all the years I might have had as a spoiled, self-satisfied minor scholar."
"And you're the best thing that ever happened to me, Owen Deathstalker. Before you came into my life and ruined everything, I had to struggle to find a reason to get out of bed in the morning. You showed me what duty and honor were, and gave purpose to my life, even if you did have to drag me into it kicking and screaming all the way. Because of you, I became someone who mattered, instead of just another minor criminal."
"This isn't necessarily the end. I could come out of the maze with all the power I need to destroy the Recreated. The new Sunstrider could have the firepower you need to hold them off and keep you safe. Maybe we'll save humanity one last time, and then walk off into the sunset together. Stranger things have happened."
"Yeah, maybe."
They moved abruptly together and hugged each other close, heads pressed together, warm cheek pressed against warm cheek, at least partly so they wouldn't have to look into each other's eyes anymore. Their breathing sounded loud and strained in each other's ears, and they could feel each other's heart beating. They held on to each other as if they might be pulled apart at any moment, trying to make this moment last forever. In the end, it was Owen who let go first, and slowly pushed Hazel away from him. He'd always been the one who understood duty and honor, the one with a core of unbreakable iron in his heart, the one to do what needed doing, whatever the cost, a Deathstalker. They looked into each other's eyes, and neither of them cried, for fear of upsetting the other.
"I love you, and I always will. I'll never forget you as long as I live."
"I'll never forget you. Not even if I live forever."
Owen waited a moment, but Hazel had nothing more to say. Owen understood. He smiled one last time, kissed her gently on the lips, and moved quickly away. He looked over at the madness maze.
"I'm ready."
As Hazel was teleported up to the new Sunstrider, and the air rushed in to fill the vacuum where she'd been, Owen never expected to see her again. But of course, he did. Hazel materialized on the bridge of the Sunstrider and looked quickly around her. Her heart missed a beat as she saw that the bridge was now exactly what she'd seen in her dream, the old familiar setting from Sunstrider 2. She moved quickly forward to check out the expanded control panels and found the transformed ship now boasted more weapons and fire control systems than an E-class Star Cruiser, and one hell of a set of defensive shields. Presumably, LeMaze felt she'd need them. She activated the main view screen. They were still there, the recreated, clustering around the Wolfling world like rats around a dying man. She could almost feel waves of hate and rage coming from them. Hazel snarled at the screen. She stood between them and the Deathstalker, guarding his back as always, and that was all that mattered. She'd faced impossible odds before, and somehow survived. Perhaps that had all been training, for her to be at this place, at this time, and not be intimidated. To stand at the mouth of the pass, denying the enemy entrance. To be the guard at the gate for all humanity. She just wished she didn't have to do it alone. And then she noticed a flash of light at the edge of the screen, and knew immediately what it was. The Dauntless, Silence's legendary ship that had never lost a battle. She wasn't alone after all. Hazel began to smile a death's head grin and turned her attention to the weapons console. Everything was linked through a single fire control panel so she could operate it all herself. Outside, in the endless night of the Dark Void, she could feel more and more of the recreated becoming aware of her, slowly realizing that she stood between them and their prey. Huge eyes turned in her direction. Mile-long tentacles reached across space. Vast ships oriented on the Sunstrider.
Showtime.
Hazel calmly sat down, meshed her mind with the fire controls, and opened up with everything she had.